Good morning. I'll be reading from John 18:15 to 27, and it's on page 1681 in the Bibles that are in the pews. Simon Peter and another disciple were following Jesus. Because this disciple was known to the high priest, he went with Jesus into the high priest's courtyard, but Peter had to wait outside at the door. The other disciple, who was known to the high priest, came back, spoke to the servant girl on duty there, and brought Peter in. "You weren't one of this man's disciples too, are you?" she asked Peter. He replied, "I am not." It was cold, and the servants and officials stood around a fire they had made to keep warm. Peter also was standing with them, warming himself. Meanwhile, the high priest questioned Jesus about his disciples and his teaching. "I have spoken openly to the world," Jesus replied. "I always taught in synagogues or at the temple, where all the Jews came together. I said nothing in secret. Why question me? Ask those who heard me. Surely they know what I said." When Jesus said this, one of the officials nearby slapped him in the face. "Is this the way you answer the high priest?" he demanded. "If I said something wrong," Jesus replied, "testify as to what is wrong. But if I spoke the truth, why did you strike me?" Then Annas sent him bound to Caiaphas, the high priest. Meanwhile, Simon Peter was standing there warming himself. So they asked him, "You aren't one of his disciples too, are you?" He denied it, saying, "I am not." One of the high priest's servants, a relative of the man whose ear Peter had cut off, challenged him, "Didn't I see you with him in the garden?" Again, Peter denied it, and at that moment, a rooster began to crow.
Good morning, everyone. It's great to be with you. I'm always a little bit concerned when none of the staff are at a church when I turn up. I don't know if they just trust me or whether they're scared of me. Please keep your Bibles open at John 18. How about I pray? Lord and Heavenly Father, we do thank you for your word. We thank you that it is your truth. And we thank you that it is your truth for all time. And we thank you that in your word you show us how you want us to live and how to live in ways that honour and please you. So we ask now that as we look at this part of scripture, you would keep us in the truth of your word. We pray that we would be encouraged in our faith and challenged and changed in the ways that we need to. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, for me as a dad, there are few more joyous moments than, particularly when I have three daughters, particularly when my daughters were teenagers and they would be in a bad mood in the back of the car. And this is especially good in peak hour. And we'd pull up at a red light. And if they're cranky in the back and a music, you know, with a bit of a dance beat comes on, doom, doom. I'd put down all the windows in the car. I'd lock it so they can't put the windows back up. I'd turn up the music as loud as I possibly could. Do, 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 do. And I'd sing at the top of my... And I'd car dance like this. And my daughters would just go, "Dad, what are you doing?" And they'd sink in their chairs. "You're so embarrassing." And they'd hide their faces. They'd cover up their faces. It was so good. I loved it. Not so good for them, but I loved it. I wonder if you have ever felt totally embarrassed about being associated with someone? That might have been your parents, who are as embarrassing as me. It might be your children, maybe your siblings, maybe a friend or something like that. Or maybe even Jesus. If the latter is true, then you're not alone. This morning I want to briefly look at this part of Peter the Apostle's story with Jesus, and in particular his denial or disowning of Jesus. And we can see here that it went way beyond just embarrassment, didn't it? Now let me just give you a bit of backstory to this. Earlier in chapter 13, Jesus is having dinner, and which happened just a little bit before this. Jesus is having dinner with his disciples. And during dinner with his disciples, he says to them, "One of you will betray me." Peter, the apostle, says, well, Peter, the disciple at this stage, says, "No way. No way would I ever do that. I will follow you," he says. "I'll follow you wherever you go. In fact, I will lay down my life for you," Peter says. And Jesus responds to Peter by saying this. Let me just read to you from John 13, verse 38. This is John 13, 38. Listen to this. Jesus answered him, "Will you really lay down your life for me? Very truly, I tell you, before the rooster crows, you will disown me three times." So Peter here promises loyalty to Jesus, even to death. He will die for Jesus. That's a pretty massive call to make, isn't it? And I take it he was sincere about it at the time. But Jesus' response to him is, "No, you won't. You won't do that. In fact, you'll do the opposite to dying for me and laying down your life for me. You'll disown me, and not once, not twice, but three times." Now, I think that's a pretty brutal reply, isn't it, to someone who has just pledged undying loyalty to you. And we move forward in time through the evening to chapter 18. Where Jesus is in the garden, where he is arrested. And if you read the earlier part of chapter 18, you'll read about his arrest and how Peter actually tries to defend Jesus. He pulls out his sword against the arresting mob and Roman guard and so forth. He draws his sword, cuts off the ear of the high priest, one of the high priest's servants. And Jesus says, "Stop it. Stop. This is not how this is going to go down." And he's arrested, and they take Jesus away for trial. Now, Peter and one of the other disciples, they follow as they bring Jesus to the high priest's courtyard. And that brings us to verse 15, the passage that was read for us. And there, in verses 15 to 16, we see Peter's just outside. The high priest speaks to one of the other disciples and then speaks to the servant girl, and the servant girl comes out and brings Peter in to where all the action is happening. And look at verse 17. John 18, verse 17. The servant girl is speaking. "You aren't one of this man's disciples too, are you?" she asked Peter. He replied, "I'm not." Now, this is a servant girl talking to Peter. She was no threat at all to him. She had no particular standing in that community or in that society. She had no authority whatsoever. Yet when she asks Peter a very simple question, "You one of his disciples?" Peter responds to her, "Don't know him, don't know what you're talking about. No, I'm not." Meanwhile, from verses 19 to 24, Jesus is being questioned and being slapped around. If any time you need a loyal friend, it would be then, wouldn't you think? But look what happens in verse 25. If you look at verse 25. Jesus being slapped around and questioned. Meanwhile, Simon Peter was still standing there warming himself. And so they asked him, well, you aren't one of his disciples too, are you? And he denied it, saying, I am not. So asked for a second time, are you a disciple of Jesus? Are you a follower of Jesus? Are you with Jesus? Are you associated with Jesus? He again denies it. No. No, I'm not. What are you talking about? And then look at verse 26. One of the high priest's servants, a relative of the man whose ear Peter had cut off, challenged him. Didn't I see you with him in the garden? Again, Peter denied it. And at that moment, a rooster began to crow. So for a third time, asked if he is with Jesus. For a third time, he denies it. Disowns Jesus. No. And at that moment, verse 27, a rooster began to crow. And the words of Jesus that I read to you before from John 13, verse 38, came true, didn't they? Let me repeat it to you. Very truly I tell you, Jesus said, before the rooster crows, you will disown me three times. What an awful moment that must have been. When Luke's gospel recounts what happened here, it says in Luke 22, verse 60 to 62, it said, at that moment the Lord turned and looked straight at Peter. And Peter went outside and wept bitterly. What must that look have been? But both knew. And it caused Peter to go out and bitterly, bitterly weep. He had been ashamed to admit that he knew Jesus, that he followed Jesus. That's what disciple means. This person that had been so kind to him, so gracious, so patient, so loving, so generous, and that Peter had so boldly pledged undying loyalty to, Peter just dumps him. No wonder there were bitter, bitter tears. His macho bravado had turned into a blubbering mess. One moment defending Jesus against a group of Roman soldiers, next minute denying Jesus in front of one lowly slave girl. And he does it not just once or twice, but three times. I don't know him. You know, we can be tempted to think, how could you do that? How could you be so weak? How could you be so gutless? How could you break your promise? And how could you do that to all people, to Jesus? But I think we ought not to be too harsh on Peter. At least at this stage, he's still, you know, following along to see what happens with one of the other disciples. 10 of the other disciples had already done the bolt. They've already racked off. But maybe we ought not be so harsh, because maybe you and I might do the same thing. And maybe even we have done the same thing. Now, maybe we haven't outright denied Jesus so explicitly like Peter did, but I wonder if you've ever hidden that you're a Christian. I wonder whether you ever just go quiet when people are talking about or bagging out Christians. Or you ever don't defend a Christian friend or a Christian colleague when they're just trying to do or say what is Christian. I wonder when people, more commonly these days, deriding or demeaning the Bible and what it says. Do you ever not defend God's word on something? Have you ever been tempted to follow everyone else so you won't be shamed, so that you won't be cancelled, so that you won't be embarrassed by doing the Christian thing? It can be even as simple as being asked, what did you do on the weekend? And you just happen to leave out that you went to church. If you've done any of those, then maybe you have disowned Jesus too. Maybe you have denied him. Maybe you have been ashamed of him. I've done all of those things. And even now, sometimes I don't wear this. One, because I think it actually looks a little bit silly, but sometimes, generally in a non-church context, sometimes I don't wear it when I could, because it tells people who I'm associated with. And sometimes, generally, like I said, in non-church contexts, I don't wear it because I don't want people to know I'm a Christian minister, a follower of the Lord Jesus, because of what they might say or think. Shame on me. I wonder if you ever, deep in your heart, at certain times, in certain places, with certain people, you disown Jesus. And you know, we might think, Yeah, but we didn't make such bold declarations like Peter did to Jesus. But, you know, I think we did. I think we did when we said we'd follow Jesus, when we said we'd trust in Jesus, when we said we'd love him with all our heart, none of which are present, when we deny that we know him. And there's a possibility that even though Peter's denial is more spectacular, I mean, it's written here for all of human history to read, when we deny Jesus, it might be a bit more pathetic. See, Peter hadn't died for Jesus yet. Jesus hadn't died for Peter yet. Jesus hasn't risen from the dead yet. And at that point, he had less to hang his loyalty on than we do now. Have you ever denied Jesus? Have you ever disowned him? Have you ever wept those bitter tears? We need to help each other to never be ashamed of the Lord Jesus. And I say this because things will get worse for Christians in this country. I have no doubt. I'm telling you now. The cancel culture is in full swing and it will get worse. And many people just do not care what truth is. Many of our gatekeepers just do not care what is right and what is wrong, what is true and what is false. I remember a few years ago, one of the very high-profile journalists working for a national newspaper was quoting me, and done this to other people in our church, was quoting me the newspaper, and it was completely wrong what she was quoting. And we contacted her, and I said, I did not say those things. And we knew she was writing a series of articles. So she said, oh, okay, well, it's too late now. But the next one I'll show you before I print. And she did. Still was misquoting me and taking me completely out of context. And in fact, one quote, she made me say the exact opposite to what I'd actually said. I said, didn't say those things. This is what she said. I don't care. I'm going to print it anyway. People don't care about the truth these days. People don't care for explanation. Just shout you down. People don't even care for good intention. I am telling you now, please listen. Christians will get hammered more and more in this city. And you may have already experienced it. People talk about tolerance and inclusiveness. That is bluster. Sisters and brothers, that is bluster. Because now you can't just tolerate another position. You can't even simply agree with another position. No, you need to celebrate a position that is different to your own. You need to celebrate it. What if someone wants you to celebrate something that goes against what Jesus says? What God's word says? Will you stick to Jesus? Will you stick to Jesus? And when confronted with these sorts of situations, it's like we need to ask ourselves the question the slave girl asked. Are you one of his disciples? What will you say? You know, I'm not saying as we face the challenges that come before us today, I'm not saying, on the other hand, we should be all grumpy and defensive. I'm not saying that at all. We must always engage with others, always. No matter how cranky or aggressive they are, we must always engage in a way that is gracious and that is humble and that is polite and that is respectful, always. But at the same time, we must always remain firm in the truth of God's word and hold firmly and stand up for the Lord Jesus. As we go in John's Gospel, we see that failure here for Peter wasn't the end of it. Failure did not end here for him. You know, after the resurrection, I don't know if you remember, after the resurrection, there's that wonderful story of when the disciples are out fishing and Jesus comes to the shore and he cooks breakfast for them. And it's great. John 21. And then as they're having breakfast, Jesus asks Peter this: "Do you love me?" And Peter says, "Yes, you know I love you." And Jesus says to him, "Feed my sheep." This means take care of my people. Okay. But then a second time, Jesus says to him, "Peter, do you love me?" Peter says, "Yes, you know I love you." Jesus says, "Feed my sheep, take care of my people." And then for a third time, as if to mirror Peter's three denials, Jesus asks him, "Do you love me?" Peter says, "Yes, yes, you know that I love you." Jesus says, "Feed my sheep." What Jesus is doing here is he's restoring Peter after his failure. Because with Jesus, failure is not final. And here, Jesus is really placing Peter as the leader of his people back then, of the fledgling church. And you know what? Peter will do what Jesus asks. He will. When we read the letters in the New Testament, we see that Peter has a couple of imperfections, but he will feed Jesus' sheep and lead them. And eventually, he will die for Jesus. In the same way it did not end in failure for Peter, it does not end there for us either. There is always forgiveness and restoration. If you have ever denied Jesus, look, it's right. It is right that we cry those bitter tears. But in Jesus, understand, sorrow should always turn to joy because in Jesus there is always forgiveness, yeah? The irony of it all is that the very one that we can be ashamed of is the very one that saves us and brings forgiveness. You know, if anyone should be ashamed of association, it should be Jesus of us, shouldn't it? We're the sinners. We are the ones who have done and said and thought things that we don't want anyone ever to know, because if they did know, we couldn't bear the shame. But Jesus did not hide his face from us, did he? Nor disown us. Instead, he came to us. He sought us. He reached out to us. He found us and he died for us. Here is a man who lived with such integrity, such honor. People wanted to kill him. Here is Jesus who loved us when we did not love him. Here is Jesus, Lord and Saviour. We have nothing to be ashamed of, do we? So when we are faced with circumstances or conversations or even confrontations that pose the questions, are you one of his disciples? Are you with him? What will he say? Let me pray. Lord God and Heavenly Father, we give you humble and hearty thanks for Jesus. We thank you that though we were sinners, he did not abandon us, but indeed he came and sought us, he found us and died for us. Lord, we pray that by your Spirit, you would enable us to always stand with Jesus. And this we ask in his name. Amen.